Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Ron Brister, VP, Left Field Media, AwesomeCon.
Awesome. And of course, we're here talking AwesomeCon, which returns to the Washington Convention Center April 26th through the 28th. Thanks so much for joining us, Ron.
Yeah, not a problem. Happy to do it.
All right, so this is a huge event every year. If anyone's riding the metro around DC, they're going to see people decked out in all these crazy costumes. And if you might wonder what's going on, it's AwesomeCon. Before we get into any of the guests itself, just give us more of a big picture. How many years are we in now?
Oh man, I think this is the seventh year, and. You know, it's a show that's really grown year over year, exponential growth year over year. I think, you know, we started off in a much smaller facility, and now, you know, we basically take over the entire convention center and the surrounding hotels and restaurants and bars. So it's become a really big kind of citywide event.
Awesome. I don't know if you have the numbers at your fingertips, but do you have any idea in terms of attendance, like how much, you know, first year versus now?
I don't have the first year numbers right in front of me, but I can tell you, you know, the last several years we've been hovering right around 80 to 85,000 turnstile.
Wow. That's a big business.
Right?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And why do you think that is? I mean, to me, I want to get your take, but to me, it's, you know, it's all these, you know, generations growing up on all these different pop culture TV shows, comic books, movies, and now all of a sudden it is their chance to brush elbows in person and ask them questions, get autographs. I mean, to you, I mean, is that what it is? Or let's hear it in your words, because I can't use it if it's in my soundbite.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. People ask me this one a lot, and, you know, I think if we could figure out exactly what causes pop culture to be pop culture, you know, when and where it's going to strike, we would all be very rich. But I will tell you that what seems to be the case is, I mean, I don't know how old, you know, the target demographic here is on your audience, but, you know, I grew up in the 80s. You know, I watched the G.I. Joe cartoons and He-Man. I read comic books and, you know, I got to be a teenager in the late 80s, and that stuff wasn't really cool. And and I think, you know, going into the 90s and even the early 2000s, you know, things started to really transition, you know, with the genesis of some films that came out, X-Men being some of the early films, you know, that came out from Fox, and people started looking at this going, oh, this is a cool franchise. These are cool characters. This is interesting. And then all of us who read comic books and were into those things for a long time were like, yeah, it's been interesting since the 60s. Like, I'm glad you guys are on board now. So I think, you know, that was kind of the inception. You know, you have Star Trek that's always been, you know, in the background, and everybody loved that show, or they loved it because they watched it with their parents. And then, you know, Star Wars kind of pushed geek culture a little bit further into, you know, the open. And then I think when you know, Marvel came out and started making all the movies, and Disney, you know, got involved and, you know, put their marketing machine behind it, you know, it's just really become a very accepted form of, you know, fandom now. Whereas, again, in the 80s and even, you know, for most of the 90s, this was a fandom that you know, people didn't really celebrate out in the open, except at comic book shows and conventions, which were pretty small by comparison. Up until about 2007, 2008, I think you could walk up and buy any day you wanted at San Diego Comic-Con. And now look at it. It's a show that sells out, you know, in 45 seconds a year in advance. So certainly has changed.
Absolutely. And you're talking about how it's become more accepted and you know, and Comic-Con came up, and but that's still, you know, that's still West Coast, you know, I mean, a lot of the actors maybe just a shorter jaunt down from Hollywood, a couple hours. But talk about trying to bring this to the East Coast. I mean, how do you guys get all these big, I'm looking at the lineup, I mean, these are well-known people that so many fans love. How do you get them to how did you establish DC as, you know, a destination that these celebrities actually will take their time and come to?
Well, I think, you know, D.C. is a destination city, and I think for me, personally, you know, I negotiate the majority of these contracts with the celebrity talent, with the comic talent, or with the publishers, and it's usually a pretty easy sell to tell them that, hey, we'd like to fly you out to D.C., we'd like you to meet fans. And oh, by the way, you know, go take a stroll around the museum or go see the Capitol. I mean, there's just so many great things to do and see in D.C. There's great food. There's great nightlife. And, you know, and for the talent, they're coming out to an area that intersects a multitude of different states. It brings in folks from New York, from Philly, from all over the surrounding areas, Baltimore, all over Virginia, you know, North Carolina. And because of that, you know, they know coming up to D.C., they're going to have a great experience. They're going to meet great fans. And, you know, they're going to make some money, which ultimately is what celebrities are after, right? They got to pay bills, too. So they're coming out to meet their fans and everything. But they also are going to do well. And they love coming to the show. Every year, I get calls from agents that say, hey, my talent would really like to come out and do this show. Heard nothing but great things. And that's a real testament to the fan base, I think, there in the D.C. area and surrounding areas, because Hollywood knows about AwesomeCon and knows that the fans out there really adore their clients.
That's cool. It sounds like it used to go in one direction where you're reaching out to the celebs, and now it seems like they're reaching out to you. Say, hey, I want to be a partner. That's really cool. Yeah, I don't want to get too down into the weeds on this, but just in general, are they? Do you pay them to come out here, or is it more for exposure, or is it like a tiered scale? You know, the bigger the name, sometimes you have to pay them to come, or is it like a per diem? We'll fly you out, or what? How does that generally work?
Yeah, I mean, in general, there's some negotiation and conversation. By and large, most of them come to the event for basically travel and expense. And some of them have honorariums, depending off their speaker, you know. So it just really depends on the talent, the level of talent, and really what they're after. I mean, there's folks who will come out and they will couple. The great thing about DC is when they come out, they may couple their appearance with us, also with an appearance with the Smithsonian or with one of their local senators or congress people to help raise money. And so, you know, it's a little different beast in DC because folks usually can come out there and take care of two or three things business related and not just one with us. So it usually works out pretty well for them, for us, and for the fans, because there's some talent that we get in D.C. Like if you look last year at John Boyega, right? I mean, he doesn't even do Star Wars Celebration, and he was in Washington, D.C., first time ever, and that's mainly because he wanted to come to Washington, D.C. and meet the fans.
That's so awesome. All right, without further ado, you mentioned Boyega last year. Who do we have this year?
Yeah.
Who are some of the highlights? I mean, we don't have time to go through all of them. Obviously, there's so many. Go on the website, AwesomeCon. But in your mind, what are some of the big headliners this year?
Yeah, I think for me personally, I'm excited about Cole Sprouse and KJ Apa. It's the first time these guys will be together in the area. So they're the stars of Riverdale, the male leads, so Archie and Jughead. And, you know, this is something where we're fully expecting, you know, a tween audience that has never come out to the show before because we have these two gentlemen there. I'm really excited about the Ralph Macchio, William Zabka, Martin Koh, Cobra Kai, Karate Kid reunion that we're doing out there.
Yeah, baby.
Cobra Kai, the second season drops 2 days before. And, you know, the bad sensei is going to have a major role. He's going to be there. So I'm excited about seeing those three guys together. I've met them on a number of occasions. They couldn't be three of the nicest people. They couldn't be nicer to their fans, and they couldn't be more genuine than what they actually are when these fans meet them. So, and then Weird Al Yankovic. I mean, I don't know how you don't go nuts over Weird Al. And then
yeah,
you got John Bernthal, who's a local boy, right? John Bernthal grew up in D.C. or just outside of D.C., and so he's making a bit of a homecoming return. He's super excited about meeting everybody in the local area. And then I would say Princess Bride is another one I'm very excited about. So having Carrie and Chris and Wallace together at the event to talk about Princess Bride and, of course, talk about all the other things that they've done. You know, Chris Randon was a voice of Jack Skellington in Nightmare Before Christmas. Now Wallace Shawn, you know, he's got a career that's spanned, you know, several decades. And
it's inconceivable.
It just goes on. Inconceivable. Yeah, we'll hear that a lot next weekend. I am certain of that. And as you wish. So,
how about fans of The Office? What we got for them?
Yeah, we've got the accountants. You know, they're making a trip down from Scranton and going to audit our books for the weekend. So we've got Creed, Oscar, and Meredith. And so funny thing, Meredith is the only one who doesn't actually use her real name in the show. You know, her name's Kate Flannery, but Oscar and Creed, that's actually their names, and they will be at the show meeting their fans and auditing books.
And fans of Star Trek, The Next Generation, who we got for them?
We've got quite a lineup there. We've got the majority of the bridge crew. And if you grew up being a Next Generation fan, you know, you've got some of the key players here, including Will Wheaton, who is a geek culture icon. You know, between everything he's done with Big Bang Theory, his blog that he did, his books he's released. But then we also have Jonathan Frakes, we have Spiner, we have Marina Sirtis, we have Gates McFadden. So we have both the Crushers there, Wesley and his mom. So it'll be a nice little team up. There'll be five of them doing photos together. It's not very often you can get a group photo that big with that many of the original cast members from The Next Generation. So, you know, for all those Star Trek fans, I think we've really, especially Next Generation fans, I think we've really hit a home run on this one. Would love to get Patrick Stewart one of these days to come out. You know, it's just not been in the cards. He's such a busy guy. But I don't know. I keep trying every year. And if I get Patrick Stewart, I'll bring all the British cast back and we'll have a full reunion.
Awesome. And I know for wrestling, pro wrestling fans, that's always a time they can come out and see some of their favorites. Which grapplers are laying the smackdown this weekend?
Yeah, we have Sting coming out. So he's a Hall of Famer. He'll be there. He'll be there in face paint. The last time I'm told, I don't know if this is true, but I'm being told, this is the last time he's going to wear his face paint for photo ops.
Really? The last time? The Stinger? WCW?
The Stinger. Yep. The last time he's going to be wearing the face paint. In fact, I got asked by his manager which version, because he has two versions, the red and the black versions. I don't know what we selected. I guess it'll be a surprise for all those Sting fans when they show up on Saturday.
Is he going to drop down from the ceiling?
You know, I don't know. It'll be a surprise. We don't know what's in store, you know. I mean, the guy is a mystery. You know, then we have some other wrestlers are going to be on site as part of some of our vendor experiences. So we have Sergeant Slaughter. There's a couple others. The names are escaping me right now. Yeah, we'll have something there for everybody.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. How about for any Harry Potter fans?
Jason Isaacs. So Malfoy's dad will be at the event. Of course, he's, I think, probably equally evilly known for his role in The Patriot.
Yeah, he's so evil in that. He's Mel Gibson's foil.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he's always surprised by how many people want the autograph or his picture because of The Patriot. You know, I don't know how he feels about it because he's genuinely a nice guy, but he plays very bad characters very well. But he's a delight to meet in person. Also, he's known for Discovery now, which is a new Star Trek that shows on CBS online and doing really, really well.
Now, is there anyone from Game of Thrones or not?
No, we don't have anybody from Game of Thrones right now, mainly because they are knee-deep in doing all of their pressers and stuff for this final season. So those are, you know, when something like the final season of Game of Thrones is going on, or even the Avengers, you know, because that comes out the weekend of the show,
yeah,
all of them have press obligations that preclude them from doing an event like this, largely because, you know, studios don't want things to leak, they don't want people talking about things. So for Game of Thrones specifically, until the episodes all drop, most of them aren't able to appear until everything's been released.
So stay tuned for a future Awesome Con for stuff that's, yeah, they'll be, then you might, I'm sure you guys will grab some of those guys. But hey, I mean, the lineup here is insane. Everyone's got to come out. Talk about, in addition to, you know, the celebrity meet and greets and the autographs and stuff like that, talk about, there's every year there's also, I've been to a couple of them, there's panels, there's short film screenings, there, you know, they talk about sort of those other, I don't want to necessarily call them workshops, but they kind of are. Talk about some of those panel events that, in addition to the celeb stuff.
Yeah, so we call all of that show features. So it's basically elements of the show that your entrance ticket we'll get you in, and all that other stuff comes for free, right? A lot of times people get confused and they think, well, they've got 40-some guests at the show. It's going to cost me money to get in the show. It's going to cost me money to meet those people. But the answer is actually no. If you want to come to the show and you just want to tell your favorite celebrity that you know you appreciate their work, that doesn't cost you anything other than walking in the door. You can go to their panels. You can listen to them do a Q&A for an hour. If you're lucky enough to get up to a microphone, you can ask them a question yourself. We have about 227 hours of programming that goes anywhere from fan-submitted content that's super fun and lighthearted, all the way to STEM-related stuff on our future contract, which is as part of our partnership with the Smithsonian, where we'll have astrophysicists there talking about, you know, anything and everything that has to do with their field of study and expertise. We also have the NASA administrator coming out to our convention to talk about the future of space travel. I mean, what kind of a convention gets the head of NASA to come out and do a panel at a Comic-Con, right? That's pretty cool, especially if you're into geeky STEM-related stuff. We have DC and Warner Brothers coming out. They are going to be putting on a big exhibit, first time that I know of, that they're going to end up having a plethora of screen-used Batman props and costumes at the show, completely free of charge once you're in the event, to go and walk through. This is everything from Michael Keaton's bat suit to Ben Affleck's bat suit, villains, cowls, original pages from some of the earliest Batman books, original books that are, you know, essentially priceless at this point. All kinds of batarangs, props, Mr. Freeze's gun used by Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's going to be great stuff. I don't know how many props in total, but I'm being told right now it's well over 30 props. This is a museum sized exhibit that will be on display for the weekend. And then beyond that, you know, we've got 400 plus vendors. We have about 350 folks in Artist Alley that are producing some of the most amazing art you've ever seen. And then we have 75 of the leading creators in the industry, Greg Capullo, Amanda Connor, a long, long list of some of the top comic book talent in the nation at the show. And then we have gaming. You know, we have indie gaming, we have tabletop gaming, you know, learn how to play Magic, learn how to play Pokemon, learn how to play a game for Sunday night board game night with your family. All of that is included in the price of admission. So, you know, we really like to think we have something for everyone. One of my favorite things is we've partnered with Atlas Brewing this year to make a special beer. And that beer will be for sale in a collectible can at the venue all weekend long. So we're pretty excited about that. Atlas will be there doing some sampling and talking to fans. Because to me, you know, pop culture is anything you're passionate about, and craft beer is certainly something that craft brewers are very passionate about. And if you talk to them, most of them will tell you that, you know, it's a hobby that turned into a business, and it's a labor of love, and just like comics were for a lot of people, and just like collecting is for a lot of people. So that's the 30,000 foot view of what we have going on. I really think, you know, if you're thinking about coming out to the show, I always tell everybody, you know, you could buy a single day pass. You'll see 1/16th or less of the show with a single day pass. It's always best to get a 3-day pass. It's the biggest bang for your buck. Plus, you know, if you end up with some extra free time and you can come back to the show on Sunday, or if you can come to the show on Friday, you know, at least you have that 3-day pass in your pocket and you're ready to go, because, you know, it's going to be a busy, busy weekend. Lots of stuff going on.
Awesome. It sounds like such a great lineup. And just sort of in closing, final question, invite our listener. I alluded to it earlier, seeing all the costumes on the Metro, but tell our listeners, invite them. Why should they all dress up as their favorite characters here and come on out?
Well, I think, you know, look, you know, Halloween's only once a year, but AwesomeCon's also once a year. Events are, you know, throughout the country, almost every weekend you can find an event. If you love costumes and you love cosplay, and you and your family want to cosplay as a group of people, I've seen some amazing cosplay over the years, and some of that most amazing cosplay is when I see a family unit, you know, little ones, parents, extended family, all dressing up in a theme. That's always my favorite. I think it helps introduce this generation of kids to, you know, stuff that we love, stuff that we grew up on, stuff that they're growing up on that's socially accepted now. So I think getting dressed up is the best way to just come and break the ice and get to meet new people and have a great time. Because when you're in cosplay, whether it be something you threw together at the last minute, something that's super witty, or something you spent hours and hours and hours creating because you want to enter the costume contest, all cosplay is great. And the people that put on the cosplay, you know, it becomes a show feature within itself. They're getting their pictures taken, they're meeting new people, and my favorite thing, one of my favorite things, is when I see somebody run into another cosplayer doing the same kind of cosplay, and they sit there and talk about, oh, I did this slightly different this way because this character did it in this one panel, in this one book, in this obscure run, you know, years ago. And now you find out that, you know, this cosplay is so diverse, even though on the surface it may look similar, but there's often stories to these cosplays and why they chose that character or why they identify with that character. So I think getting dressed up is fun. I'll be dressed up as a convention director, so I'll be easy to spot. I'll be the guy with a walkie-talkie with coffee in his hand looking super stressed out. But, you know, otherwise, get dressed up. Have a good time. You know, I mean, this is a time to kind of leave problems and worries at the door and come inside and socialize with people that are there to celebrate the same things that you loved.
Awesome. Well, I think your costume will be convincing. There might be people in future years that come dressed as you. It'll be so good. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us. Again, everybody, AwesomeCon returns to the Walter E. Washington Convention Center April 26th through the 28th. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.